Nobody's going to hear that.
No, I don't think so.
That's all right. The drama is still there in our brains. Hello, everyone. Wait, cut that. Oh, we're done. Okay.
Hey, like that sweet on-the-fly editing.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Player 2 Press Start. I am Killer Greg. You can find me at KillerGreg17.
I'm Dan. You can find me at the Polygon 1.
And you can find us at Player 2, PlayerTwo.
And you can find us at player2pressstart.com.
So for the second week now, we are doing both a video cast and an audio cast. Once again, I will say the YouTube listeners or YouTube watchers, you are getting an unedited view of our podcasting experience. If you are listening on the audio, you are getting a nice, tight, edited podcast. So if you're a watcher, we apologize in advance if there's a little jumping around or any noise going on in the background or whatever. But I don't have my editing software up yet or time to do it. So,
but we're working on it.
But we're working on it. You're also getting a lovely view of our knees.
Yep.
Today.
Some feet action going on.
We're sitting on a couch this time. Yep. As opposed to my kitchen. So
today, Greg, we are covering, which we have a perfect intro to lead into this, but our topic today is Star Wars games. I'd say early to mid 2000s, approximately.
Primarily, yeah, but late 90s at the best.
These are all multiplayer games, and we'll go down the list in a minute. But our lead-in, obviously, the biggest Star Wars news story to happen since like
Episode 1.
Yeah, pretty much. they released the teaser trailer for the new Star Wars movie. The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens. Best name of all time.
Yeah.
It's
a name. It's a title.
I'm joking. That was fortuitous that that came out this week. The week of our Star Wars podcast.
It was. This was not planned.
No. You know, it wasn't planned exactly. I did call JJ. I was like, look, bro, if you could just take all the footage you got going, slap it together. We're doing the podcast. If you wouldn't mind just putting it out so we can talk about it. And, you know, he hummed and he hawed for a little bit, but eventually he got it out for us.
Then you showed him who's boss.
Yeah. Thanks, JJ.
So we thought we'd give sort of our general impressions and sort of feelings from watching the trailer.
We're going to super nerd out and just go shot for shot.
Also, we should say, obviously, if you are trying to stay away from anything that has to do with this movie, if you have not watched the teaser and you don't want to or you haven't seen it yet, you should skip ahead like a significant amount. Because we're going to be going through this shot by shot. Granted, it's like a 45-second thing, so it's not going to take that long. But
at least 15 minutes.
Greg, what were your general sort of overall impressions?
I'm stoked. I'm stoked for it. Everything does not seem perfect to me, but at the same time, it's a teaser trailer. It's not even like a real trailer.
Yeah, there's like we don't know anything.
Yeah. Everything is out of context. As I was telling Dan and joking a second ago, I really just felt like they took every shot they had that was done and put it in the trailer. So there's not a ton of continuity in the trailer. There's no, you know, most real trailers have a story, like they sort of summarize the story a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a 2.5 minute, thing. But this is just a teaser.
Yeah, there's more black in this trailer than there is actual video footage.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, was there anything like specific that you, like you say you're stoked.
Yeah.
Why?
I left the trailer excited.
Okay.
It was like, I mean, I don't know if we want to talk about it at the end of when we go through the shot by shot, but just as a whole, it felt like Star Wars to me.
Fair enough.
You know, now going back, watching the prequels, those movies just don't feel like Star Wars.
No, they feel like garbage.
Let me just preface this, and I've said this before, maybe I haven't. If you haven't seen the Plinkett reviews of the Star Wars, the prequels, you need to do that.
On Red Letter Media.
Red Letter Media.
On YouTube.
That's
the name of the channel.
You can find them on their YouTube. You can find them on their website. They do a lot of good work. But the best thing they've ever done, and maybe the best thing that's ever happened to the internet, was their very long reviews of the prequels. They are spot on and very poignant. But what they point out about the prequels is that there's no movement. Because everything was shot on those green screens, there's no actual physical space for them to utilize. So a lot of times what you'll find happening is that they'll run, you know, like 15 feet, and then they'll start walking. Well, that's because they ran out of green screen. Like, that is the space they had. So even though they're supposed to be in a hurry or supposed to be running or whatever, they'll still, like, walk, run a little bit, and then walk a little bit more. It just didn't feel like Star Wars. There was no action. So just from this very little bit of teaser, it feels like they're in a real space. There's movement. There's action. There's stuff going on that is real. So much of those prequels was artificial. The shots of the Falcon in this seemed a little fake, but as general, this all looked like practical effects to me, and that's huge. I'm the biggest proponent for practical effects in movies, and that's what J.J. Abrams does so well. I was watching the Star Trek movies the other day, and it's like, obviously there's a ton of special effects in those movies, but every set feels like they're in a real space. When they're getting on a shuttle, it feels like they're getting into a real, actual shuttle. None of it feels CGI. It's very impressive. So what about you? I'm sorry. What's your general
impression? No, it's fine. I was honestly a little confused when I first started watching, and I had a pretty negative reaction my first watch through this. Because I was honestly thinking I was watching like a comedy thing, like a fan video or something, like a parody, because I was expecting something a little more Star Warsy, and it starts off with a guy popping his head up from the bottom of the screen, and then this doofy looking soccer ball droid that goes by, and I was just like really confused, and I was like, what am I looking at? And then it was like stormtroopers, and it goes into like the whole thing, and I was like, all right. And but like the whole time I'm thinking, that was such a bizarre start for this teaser, like the first new Star Wars movie in a long time, the first like not prequel movie in forever, and that's how they decide to introduce us to this new world, is with a guy popping his head up from the bottom with like dramatic music. Like it looked like, and as I was mentioning to Greg earlier, it was like the comedic effect of him popping his head up does not match the emotion of the scene that they're showing or the music, and it's like, what is going on here? But so we thought we would just sort of give a quick breakdown of the few short scenes here and give our general impressions if we have any. So that's my sort of first impression of the first and second scene, is that like they're really like, I think that was an odd choice for our first introduction into this new Star Wars universe that they're putting together.
Yeah, I didn't have quite a negative reaction to that initial scene. To him popping up into the scene, definitely I get more of a sense of urgency than funny. I see your point of view. Like, I see where it could be, you know, a sort of funny scene. But as a whole, I thought it... I definitely got a sense of fear more than anything. And my immediate reaction, and I don't know if this is factual or not, but I'm hoping that guy is actually a stormtrooper, because that, to me, says the people under the helmets aren't clone troopers. And that's a really big deal to me. I understand it's canon, but I hated the idea that like all those stormtroopers in A New Hope and so, and like on moving on forward, weren't just regular dudes, they were all clones.
Okay. Any comments on a soccer ball droid?
Yeah, it looks stupid. Next.
Then we have that really dark sort of dramatic shot of the stormtroopers in what appears to be a dropship.
Yeah.
I thought that was super cool.
It looks so rad.
The new stormtrooper helmet is amazing.
It's really cool, and it looks like they have new guns too, which look really, really great too. Like new
Blaster rifles.
Thank you.
No complaints there. That looks really excellent. Can't wait for that. I'm excited.
Although somebody points out that one of the stormtroopers looks much smaller than the other ones.
Yeah.
So that immediately made me question, well, maybe all the other stormtroopers are clones, and that one guy was just like hiding as a stormtrooper. And then I got scared again. Within 4 seconds, I had a whole range of emotion about those stormtroopers.
So the next scene, I didn't really have any opinions one way or the other, but you kind of did, which was the shot of the girl on the speeder bike, or speeder, whatever that was.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that's the main character of the movie, that girl. I was really stoked when you can tell immediately that she was on a speeder bike, and that got me very excited. Everything in the prequels was just different. Like, nobody used any of those. See, here's the thing about Star Wars. This is going to be a little more meta, and I can't help but talk about the prequels when we talk about this.
I can. I'm trying to block it out.
So, the prequels were supposed to take place 30 years before A New Hope. And in A New Hope, and what makes Star Wars look so great was, and people say this all the time, was that lived-in feel to it. Everything looks dirty and used and all that stuff. To me, all the stuff from the prequels should have been the same exact stuff as the
original trilogy,
just newer looking. To me, what should have happened was there was a thriving economy. There was all this lovely stuff. Well, as the Empire took over and everything got, you know, oppressed and awful, they still were using that stuff, and it just started to decay over time, and that's why everything looked so junky in the original trilogy. But everything in the prequels was brand new. It was like they were going backwards, or they were going ahead in time instead of backwards in time. You don't see any of that stuff from the prequels in the original trilogy, whereas it should have been exactly the same stuff, just newer looking. Like, the Naboo Starfighter should have been brand new X-Wings. They didn't need a whole new vehicle
for
that.
Or, like, some, like, prototype version of them, you know? Like, maybe not an X-Wing, but, like...
The Headhunter or whatever.
Yeah.
It is.
Z-95.
Yeah. Like, have a new Z-95 or a new speeder bike. They can still use speeder bikes. They don't need to use all those things, all those other things. Just have speeder bikes, but just make them look new.
But that concept, they nailed perfectly. It looks like, so far, with the little bit we've seen... Because, like, the X-Wings are just a little bit updated,
right?
You know? But they still look like an X-Wing.
It's like a new Mustang compared to an old Mustang.
Yeah.
Like, they're still a Mustang. It's
like,
just newer.
There's that shot of the, well, I mean, the next comment here is the X-Wings. That's the next scene. And, you know, you see this awesome scene of them flying by over the water, which that was like the best clip from that whole trailer, in my opinion. Like, it was just...
I was watching the trailer, and I was enjoying it. And then I got to those X-Wings, and honest to God, like, my heart started to flutter.
Like, yeah, that's when you're like, holy crap.
All right, this is it. This is something.
This is real. And then you see the shot of the internal shot of the pilot, and immediately you know this is an X-Wing pilot.
Yeah, you just feel
not,
like Star Wars.
Like, not only because of, like, the way the scene is shot, but also, like, his helmet. And it's updated, but it's not updated so much that you don't recognize it. But
right.
It's like, oh, that's a new version of an X-Wing pilot. And like, the Stormtrooper armor, that's the same way. Like, it's a subtle update.
Yeah.
But, like, you clearly can... the Clone Trooper armor is similar, but there's a pretty... It seems like there's a big difference between the Clone armor and the Stormtrooper armor.
I completely agree, because one looks idiotic and one looks good. just to get back to the speeder bike. So I saw her, like, rev up that speeder bike, and I was like, yeah, speeder bikes. Then I saw the speeder bike, and it looks really stupid.
It's like a big... It looks like she's driving a refrigerator.
Yeah, I'm sure it's supposed to be, like, some sort of, you know... like farm equipment or something, like a moisture farmer equipment, but I don't know. It just looks doofy.
Looks like a dishwasher.
Looks like a big thumb.
So the next scene takes a departure from all the stuff we've seen so far, and then we see what appears to be a Sith Lord, a Sith apprentice.
Sith something.
A bad dude. Walking through the woods. Then he turns on that lightsaber.
Which I think looks stupid.
I am... tentatively okay with it.
It's like a cross lightsaber. If you didn't see this,
it's got the Keylons, the crossbar things to protect
it.
The hand.
I suppose. I mean, what's his face? Dooku got his hands chopped off because he didn't have something like that. I don't know. Why don't you just not mess with the lightsaber?
We'll see how it works.
To me, what needs to be done established in this one is like. Reestablish the status quo. You know, they added the other side of the lightsaber for episode one, and that was cool, don't get me wrong, but deep down it was pretty much unnecessary. I don't think you needed to add two tiny little lightsabers on the side of the big lightsaber. You could have just had a big, like, a regular lightsaber that's like a little erratic. Like, that's the vibe I get from that. Like, that's...
Yeah, the blade is like... It's not like a crisp, perfect
exactly.
blade like you're used to.
It's
like,
got like a little fire in its belly.
Yeah.
That would have been enough. Just have, like, kind of like a honking lightsaber. In my brain, I imagine, like, whoever this guy is, the Sith Lord, he wasn't taught how to really make a lightsaber. So, like, he just sort of made one out of his, like, which is why it's not so crisp.
One of the things I thought that was kind of interesting is that, and that scene, it kind of took me a while to kind of put my finger on why that scene felt so different. And it's you're seeing a Sith, presumably a Sith Lord. We'll just go on that for the minute, for a moment here. But, he feels like he's in an actual environment. And when you think about it, how often do you actually see the Sith outside? Not that often.
That's true.
Like, there's a lot of indoor stuff with them.
Never?
They don't, well, No, I mean, they do get outside. Like
They get out.
They get out. Darth Maul attacked Qui-Gon Jinn in episode one out in the desert.
Oh, that's true.
Dooku in the arena.
Yeah, you're right.
It's minor, but I mean, they do get out, but it seemed so strange to see, like, that guy in that snowy forest. Like, it just seemed really, like, out of place for a Sith.
But in a good way.
Yeah, no, I don't have any complaints.
It's very menacing.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see what that guy's all about. And the final scene is pretty dramatic, and we see the Millennium Falcon do this crazy flyby on presumably Tatooine.
Yeah, it's cool.
With some TIE fighters attack.
Again, I was talking to Dan saying that, you know, I've seen the Falcon a million times. So while watching that scene was really, really rad and really fun, just seeing the Falcon doesn't really instill the sense of nostalgia I think they were going for. But it was still nice to see, and it's cool to see those TIE fighters. I like the idea that, you know, yeah, the Rebels blew up that second Death Star, but it didn't mean the Empire went away completely. Like, I like the idea that there are still remnants of the Empire around.
Yeah. How do you feel about the title?
Whatever. It's stupid, yeah. But who cares?
Yeah, honestly, most of them are pretty dumb.
All the prequels are real dumb. Revenge of the Sith, I suppose, is all right.
The Phantom Menace was cool until the movie came out, and like, cause you're like, ooh, what does this mean? You know?
Yeah.
But looking back, it's like, man, it's just dumb like the rest of them.
Yeah, just dumb like the rest of them. A New Hope was my least favorite.
As far as titles go.
Yeah, I really disliked that they added that afterwards. It was just Star Wars, and it wasn't until they started like talking about the prequels that they added A New Hope. I liked it as just Star Wars.
Fair enough.
End of story.
Yeah. The title doesn't really get me excited for this movie. It doesn't really do much.
No, me either. But I can't wait. It's a year away. That is so long.
I'm real interested to see, I guess, the first full trailer is coming out attached to The Hobbit in around Christmas. That's the rumor I hear.
Oh, that's rad.
I don't know if that's true. That's a rumor I've been hearing.
I could be behind that.
So that'd be interesting to see. I'm trying to stay away from as much spoilers as I can. I would like to go into this as fresh as possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm worried about watching the trailer.
I was just thinking, like, if a leaked script gets out, would I read it or not?
I wouldn't.
I think I would.
I think, like, me 10 years ago, I would have.
Yeah. I remember reading the Revenge of the Sith script before the movie came out. And I also remember thinking, oh, this movie's going to be really good.
I distinctly remember Kevin Smith like talking about how like he cried at the end of the third one, the Revenge of the Sith, and it's like,
Kevin Smith, you're embarrassing yourself.
That's a garbage movie. Why would you do that? So that's our intro. Anything else going on?
I don't think so. Any playing
any games lately?
Yeah, but do you want to save those for the end?
Yeah, all right, that's fine.
All right. So podcast theme music, go.
So what should we start with? We have a whole bunch of titles here. We covered a lot of games for this one.
Let's start with Terrace Kasai.
All right.
Because that will
go quickly.
That won't go quickly, but it ties into our there you go. It ties into our fighting game episode last week.
So we played Star Wars Masters of Terrace Kasai for the PlayStation 1, and what did you think of this one, Greg? I was kind of like all excited for this.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I remember that game being garbage. and my memories were proved to be correct.
I guess we should give a little bit of, for people that aren't familiar with this game, this is a traditional fighting game.
Yeah.
Based with Star Wars characters.
It reminds me a lot of, this is actually almost an equally obscure game, but it reminds me a lot of Battle Arena Toshinden.
Okay.
It was a very popular game for the PlayStation. But I suppose a more popular one would be maybe like Tekken mixed with Soul Calibur. It's a 3D arena fighting game. There are weapons, some weapons, and it controls a lot like Tekken or Virtua Fighter.
Okay.
Or more specifically, Battle Arena Toshinden.
And it's kind of one of the, I mean, just to highlight some of the fun aspects of this game is that there's some weapons involved. Some of the people have blasters. Some of them have lightsabers. And there's some expanded universe characters in this. It's also, there's a little bit of fun in playing as, like, you know, Chewbacca, who is not a character normally featured as a playable person. So, like, that's kind of cool. They kind of are going for, like, this sort of, like, Mortal Kombat story thing going on where there's, like, the Terrace Kasai arena fighting whatever nonsense.
Terrace Kasai! That's my Mortal Kombat impression.
Oh, okay. Stop.
All right.
So, Masters of Terrace Kasai did not live up to my expectations. I remember playing this when I was younger. I think I used a lot of cheat codes to get unlockable characters.
That's going
to
be a common theme, by the way.
Yeah. I remember at some point playing as Darth Vader, as Mara Jade, and like doing like crazy moves and having like force lightning and all sorts of like fun lightsaber stuff going on. Like throw my lightsaber across the screen. And we had zero access to any of that fun stuff when we played.
Yeah.
They had like real dull characters.
Well, I mean, they had they had Han Solo and Boba Fett. These aren't dull characters.
Okay, Boba Fett was cool, but you didn't start with Vader. You didn't have Mara Jade. You didn't, I mean, they weren't, it didn't really do much for me. The controls were kind of sluggish a little bit. It was kind of hard to move around. It was in sort of like a 3D environment. It was one of those things you could like sidestep. So it was a little bit more complex than some, you know, fighting games.
I actually have a lot to say about this.
Okay.
So
you're a lot more experienced with fighting games than I am too. So yeah, I think you have a better, broader range of comparison over this as a game type.
I think it should be stated in general that Dan and I go into a lot of these games without doing a ton of research. So Dan and I played this game in high school. What was that? Jeez. 12 years ago? 13 years ago? And we could do stuff then. You know, like, it wasn't hard to throw the Star Wars equivalent of a fireball back then or whatever. But Dan and I haven't played it since then, so we just popped the game in and went at it. So there could be tons of cool stuff that you can do in this game, but we didn't figure any of it out.
Mm-mm.
Like, I mean, he was saying that he remembers Darth Vader having force moves, and I assume Luke has force moves as well, but we couldn't figure out how to do any of them. All I could do was figure out how to shoot my blaster, and that was just the fireball from Street Fighter.
Yeah, super basic stuff. I can kick and I can punch, and that's pretty much it.
Right. And while I respect that there needs to be a sort of learning curve to a fighting game, we didn't really discuss this last time either. There needs to be an element of pick up and play to those to really hook you.
Yeah.
And the best example of that is Marvel vs. Capcom.
I was just going to say that.
The second you put in Marvel vs. Capcom, you're doing crazy stuff. And yeah, you know, basic moves are crazy stuff, but you feel rad playing it almost immediately.
I did not feel rad playing
this. No, I felt totally unrad. But if you put a game in and you're not going to be able to, say it's a game based in reality, like Virtua Fighter 5, for instance, or even Street Fighter, the game has to feel really crisp and fast to its own way. This game felt so sluggish. If you would do an input, I would feel like it would take almost a second before what I actually inputted to happen on screen. So just from the get-go, it felt awful. And we spent probably 45 minutes to an hour playing that game, and we couldn't do anything to it.
Yeah, and on top of that, the levels were boring.
Real boring. There was one that would like snowspeeder flying around. That was cool.
Some of the character models were like okay, but some of them were real garbage. Like Chewbacca looked like garbage.
Chewbacca looked like garbage.
Boba Fett looked good.
Boba Fett looked real good.
So it was like, it wasn't even visually that interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of liked the whoever was the announcer guy talking over the the game, he was like, that was cool.
Yeah.
Like the way he says fight.
I remember the presentation for this game being pretty good.
Yeah.
Actually, truth be told, the presentation for all these games is almost always the best part.
Yeah.
Minus power battles, perhaps.
Yeah.
The other comment I have is that the game seems to fall into two categories: people with sticks and people without sticks.
Yep.
So like Luke has a lightsaber, and the Gamorrean guard has
an axe,
and
Leia has a staff.
Bow staff. These people dominated the game.
Yeah.
They had so much more reach and just faster moves. If you were a person with a stick, you automatically won against somebody without a stick.
And I think that kind of speaks to like that pickup and play ability. Like, I'm sure there's a way for the other players to kind of counter that stuff. It was not intuitive, and
no,
we didn't really manage to do it because the person with the stick totally kicked the other person's butt.
Yeah. So just in general, Masters of Terrace Kasai, big letdown.
Score out of 10, what would you give that?
Boy, I'm not going to be nice to it. Well, it worked when we turned it on.
I'd give it a 3.
Yeah, I'm thinking 2. I have virtually no desire to go back to that game. None. If I had a copy, I'd throw it in the garbage. I'm joking. But it was just a real junk game. So, thumbs down, Masters of Terrace Kasai.
Okay.
0 out of 1.
We'll do next up, Star Wars Episode I, Jedi Power Battles.
The game that inspired it all.
Yep.
You know what? Let's give a little background. This might be important.
This is a great story.
The biggest Star Wars fan. Oh, I wasn't even going to talk about Power Battles. I was just saying in general.
Oh,
okay. We'll tell the Power Battles story in a second. Dan and I are huge Star Wars fans. We met in high school in 10th grade, and I would say Star Wars is really what we bonded over more than anything. That and there was like 6 kids in our class, so it was him or nothing.
Thanks, Greg.
So it just sort of like, I feel
it's,
like Star
it's,
Wars
it's common
is
ground.
Not only, yeah, it's common ground, and it is ingrained in me and Dan's relationship, our relationship. I don't know what the proper English for that is. But just in general, we are huge Star Wars fans. I would say I'm more of a Star Wars fan than anything else. So that puts a little bit of our love into context.
Yeah, we're huge fans.
Yeah. So do you want to tell the Jedi Power Battle story? Because this is also to the core of Dan and I.
All right. Well, when we bought a Nintendo way back when I was 5 years old in 1989, don't steal my identity, please, now that you know how old I am. Pretty soon after we got the Nintendo, we also got a Game Genie. So, and subsequently for each additional system that we acquired over the years, you know, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, Sega, all that, we always got the cheating peripheral to go with it. I don't know what that's all about, but that definitely instilled a sense of cheating's okay. I got kind of bored with the N64 at one point and decided, well, maybe I should explore some stuff on the PlayStation. So I finally got a PlayStation, and then of course I wanted to cheat at the games. And so I got the Game Shark, and there were some excellent codes for Jedi Power Battles.
Yeah, they were great.
To like unlock the secret characters and, you know, have unlimited health and unlimited lives and all this stuff. And so Greg was over one day and we're playing it. We're putting the cheat codes in, but like we could only put so many cheat codes in, and they were like, we were having difficulties with the codes working.
I will also point out that these cheat codes are like 80 characters long.
Yeah.
Anywhere from A to Z and 1 through 9.
Yeah.
1 through 10, 1 through 0, I suppose. And there was no, it wasn't like you could plug a keyboard in to type these in. You were doing it with the controller. So like up, up, right, 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 L. Up,
yeah.
Up, right, 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 down, 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 left, 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 S. Like,
yeah.
It took us a really long time to input these codes.
And so we were having difficulty getting basically all the codes that we wanted to use to cooperate and work successfully for us. So the bright idea we had was to call the Game Shark help number.
Which, did that cost extra money?
Oh my god, I'm pretty sure that did. I'm pretty sure there was a fee for that. It's like, you know, the Nintendo like game helpline.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So we definitely were like on hold for a long time.
Really long time.
We did eventually get somebody, didn't we? And they were pretty much no help whatsoever.
Well, what it turns out is they kept telling us whatever the book told us.
Yeah.
What we found out later, maybe even much later, like years later, was that the code was broken. Like, it was never going to work because the information they provided was incorrect.
Huh.
What was it for? Was it for infinite lives?
I don't know, man. It was one of the. It was one of those codes. It was probably the most imperative one because we wanted to beat the game.
That day, I feel like we might have spent more time trying to get that Game Shark code to work than actually playing the game.
Oh, I'm sure. I have no doubt. So that's kind of where. So that was our. And we did get some of the codes to work. So like there, and there was one where you can play as Darth Maul, and he's got this crazy like force move where he basically kills everybody on the screen. And so I would always play as Darth Maul, and I'd use that all the time and kill everybody before Greg can get to them.
Yeah,
like
a lot of fun.
Like a real jerk. I'm sorry for that, Greg.
That's okay.
So that's sort of our history with Jedi Power Battles. We haven't really touched it since.
We haven't touched it since. And this is what inspired us to do a Star Wars episode. Dan really wanted to play Jedi Power Battles.
I kind of want to read the back of this.
Just go ahead. I'm going to take my jacket off while you do that.
Deflect, defeat, destroy. Take back the Theed Palace in fast and furious lightsaber assaults. You will have the power of the Force and your trusty Jedi lightsaber as you ward off legions of battle droids, destroyer droids, assassins, and other creatures from Star Wars Episode I worlds. And this is also odd, too. There's sort of a unusual character selection in this. You've got Plo Koon, Obi-Wan, Mace Windu, Qui-Gon Jinn, and Adi Gallia.
Yeah, two of those are like nobodies. They're background characters.
Yeah, I mean, Plo Koon at least looks cool. But, I mean, at that point, he was like, he didn't do anything. Nobody knew who he was.
Did he ever do anything? I think he had one of those.
He's bigger in the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah, those Tarkovsky. What am I talking about? The original Clone Wars cartoons.
Yeah,
the
but
one
he had,
that Samurai Jack guy did.
Yeah, he had a bigger role in the CG one, too.
Oh, did he?
So, that's where we're coming from with Jedi Power Battles. We've replayed it. What is your opinion?
This game is garbage.
It's not that much fun.
I'm going to tell you... So, this actually could have almost fit into our beat-em-up episode.
It could have.
It definitely plays like a side-scrolling beat-em-up.
I actually thought that after we finished playing that the last time.
In, like, 3D... In a 3D arena. Well, not an arena. No, like a side-scrolling 3D beat-em-up is really what it is. The biggest issue I had with this was that there was really no way to interrupt your attack commands. So you would start your flurry of attacks, and there was no way for you to stop. And like you would start getting shot, and you couldn't redirect. And you would just sort of like flurry into a wall. And then you'd be facing the wrong direction, and it was just awful.
My main issue with Star Wars Jedi Power Battles was it was multi-level stuff, and it was hard to see where you're jumping, hard to see where you're supposed to jump, hard to see where you can jump, and then like also dealing with pits. Like there's one area where I always get stuck, where it's like this conveyor belt, and you got to like jump over the pits, and it's like I get screwed up there every time. And then by the time I do get past it, I'm like, well, I'm done with this game.
The game controls like garbage.
Yeah.
More than anything, it just has the worst controls I know, maybe I've ever seen in a beat-em-up. Precision is the most important thing in that kind of game.
I was always pointing the wrong way when a battle droid was shooting at me.
And there was some sort of lock-on mechanic, but it was not good either.
No.
Like, it never really functioned properly.
And I almost feel like this game was... To some extent, like, I feel like the sort of the vibe they're going for with, like, Jedi Power Battles, like, making it sound like a big deal, is, like, almost like the Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
In that, like, you're a Jedi, and you've got these crazy powers, and it's gonna be crazy. And it definitely did not feel like that. Now, granted, later on in the game, I'm sure as you get maybe more advanced... I mean, I remember those Darth Maul powers and, like, using the crazy lightning. So, clearly, there's something that you get later.
Yeah, I think there was some sort of upgrade tree or
but
something.
Like, you don't have any of that at the beginning. It's, like, real boring. Like, it's not like they just give you one power and that's all you have, you know? It's, like, you literally have nothing. You had, like, some real dumb, like, force push powers or something.
The word power is in the name. this game should have made you feel just the coolest. Like, you should have been doing flips and throwing your lightsaber and force powering all over the place. And realistically, the Force Unleashed does that very well.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go, you're doing some crazy force junk. The game gets boring over time, but at first, you just feel great.
Yeah, the force powers are cool in that game.
Yeah, there's none of that in this.
No. Well, maybe later on. I mean, we didn't get that far because we got so bored and annoyed that we didn't get that. We didn't get that far into it. But they should start you off with something.
And the thing is, like, this looks... I mean, did we show... We showed the thing. Yeah. Like, let me hold this up again. There it is. Can you see that? Look how rad everything looks. Like, it just... Even that font, that just sort of says, like, this...
We're ready for action. It's going to be exciting.
Like, get ready. These guys are going nuts. And instead, you just wind up swinging at a bunch of walls because you can't control your dude.
And, you know, they're at this point, you know, they're definitely heavily banking on Mace Windu as a character.
Yeah.
And who, first of all, we saw do absolutely nothing in episode one. But also, you know, you're a Jedi who's also Samuel L. Jackson. This is going to be crazy.
None of that.
No, it's not.
None of that. And the thing is, like, there should be some sort of ability progression in a video game. That's what sort of keeps you going. And in most games, that works out fine because you start out as nothing. Even in Jedi Knight, you know, Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, when you start out as Kyle Katarn, you're just a guy. Like, you don't have force powers at the beginning because you don't know you have force powers. You're just a dude. So it's acceptable to be underpowered and just have a blaster or whatever. But in this one, you start out as five totally rad Jedi Knights, and they just run around getting their butts beat by battle droids.
Yeah.
Which
just shouldn't happen.
So here's the real question about this game. And I don't have an answer, but is the game... Were they just not capable of making you feel that way? Like, was the game just junk? There were a lot of LucasArts games that came out that were just junk.
As our next example will show.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, what I think this game needs is they need it in the options screen to turn on, like, force powers from the get-go. They need you to start off with something more than what you do. They need something, like, some awesome force push or, you know, lightning of some sort or whatever. They needed something to amp this up from the beginning because it was just real dull.
Taking an arcade approach to this game. When you put on X-Men, you get all your powers right from the get-go.
Like this game didn't feel any different than Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, like the movie adaptation version of the game.
I never played that. I heard it was real bad.
I loved it at the time, going back. I mean, I can't even make it through a Let's Play for that game. and it just feels like, it's just like, okay, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's just dull. And I'm sure a lot of that is colored because it's a prequel game. I mean, some of the stuff here we're looking at are prequel games, and that just sort of, like, inherently makes me want to throw up a little bit. But
was there anything that came out of the prequels that was good? Or not game related. Those Samurai Jack Clone Wars cartoons were amazing.
I liked the CG cartoon.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. They made Anakin a much more interesting character. He seemed a lot more adult, which is strange because it takes place before his role in episode 3. And he seems like the way Anakin should have been. And, like, you get these glimpses of his dark side every now and then, but they do it in, like, such a more mature way than they did in the movies.
Yeah.
And so they, like, the character development that it was able to add to him, like, almost makes me, like, appreciate him as a character. Whereas the movies in the prequels, I just wanted him to just not exist at all. I still think Darth Maul is great.
Yeah,
he's just a cool concept. The double bladed lightsaber is cool. His like martial arts fighting style definitely amped things up the way we just didn't see previously.
Were there any games? I can't think of any.
I mean, there's a lot of prequel stuff in the Battlefront in the second.
That's true.
Was there stuff in the first Battlefront or just the second one? I don't remember if they had any of that in Battlefront 1.
I have very vague remembrances of the two of them. Between Battlefront 1 and 2.
They had a lot of prequel stuff in Battlefront 2, and I was fine with it. Like, the game was fine. I wasn't, like, upset that it was a partially prequel game.
Okay.
But, boy, there's a whole lot that I don't love.
Me too. Let's go to our next game.
So, this was sort of a last-minute addition, which we found out.
We had to buy it off of the eBays.
Yeah. Never played this before, only read about it. So this is Star Wars Demolition. I'm sorry I'm doing a crappy job of holding these up.
No, it's weirdly difficult. Everything's reversed.
Yeah, because and it's also reflecting.
Yes.
So there you go. The mighty Jabba asks that you die honorably. Winner takes all in 8 intense arenas with over 10 Star Wars vehicles to choose from. Wow, 10.
Whoa.
Don't get crazy.
Don't break your bank.
Total vehicular mayhem, special attacks, and 4 game modes, including tournament and high stakes. Blast your way to victory with an arsenal that includes laser cannons, proton torpedoes, and concussion missiles. So basically what this is Star Wars Twisted Metal. And basically what this is garbage.
It's garbage.
So we were saying LucasArts makes crappy games sometimes. This is one of them.
This
was bad.
Crappiest game.
Jedi Power Battles is LucasArts, and so is Masters of Terrace Kasai. So that's 3 stinkers we've got here.
I would say, and I kind of say this a lot, Star Wars Demolition might be one of the top 10 worst games I've ever played.
You know why this sucks so badly?
I do know why, but I'm curious to see what you're going to say.
Twisted Metal is a great series.
Yes, it is.
So I went in with I should have known better, but I went into this with high expectations, thinking Twisted Metal's great, thinking that formula, like the formula is great, and there's no way they can screw this up. And, you know, I kind of dig it, too. So I guess in this, the Empire outlawed pod racing, so Jabba puts together this arena fighting.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fun. I'll take that.
Yeah, I figured it would sort of be like a Twisted Metal sort of arena Mario Kart kind of action, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like the heads-up display was, like, nonsensical.
Impossible. The one major issue with this has a common issue with the game we're going to talk about a little bit. I won't spoil it. We'll get back to that. But, yeah, the HUD is ridiculous. I think the biggest issue with this game, there's 2 of them that I think worked in tandem. The arenas are real bad. They're very tight. The draw distance is non-existent. And there's no room for you to get up speed.
Yeah.
And because of that, that creates 2 issues. One is that you... How do I want to say this?
So you're always sluggish.
You're always sluggish.
You can't get going.
You can never see in the far enough in advance to plan an attack on another vehicle. In Twisted Metal, those arenas are so open that you can see the dude flying across the screen way on the other side of the map, and you can plan on that. The other thing this creates is that all the vehicles are very slow, because if you get going any speed, you're just going to start crashing into that. So I feel like they had to tone down the speed of the vehicles to accommodate the tiny arenas.
Also, the multi-level aspect to it, I don't remember which level it was, but there was one where there was like these, like, you'd go through a black doorway thing and end up on the higher level and come through on like a bridge sort of thing. I mean, it was just like you and the other guy and you're all that's left in this arena. It's like you just sort of end up cycling through this thing as you
endlessly
chase each other.
Oh, it's just
so
it's
just to give
the worst.
Just to add a little bit more context to why this game is like dull. Here's the list of the vehicles that they have available. And
one of them is wicked cool.
There's not a. I mean, realistically, as far as land vehicles go, I don't know how many options they really have. So I'm not going to be super critical. But this just like tells you what they have. They have a Rancor.
That's the cool one. By the way,
Boba Fett.
Yeah, Boba Fett on a jetpack.
Yeah, just on his own.
Pass.
Aura Sing, the bounty hunter from Episode 1, who is a cool character, but like it just feels so like.
Is he in a boat? What is he in?
She's on a like a speeder bike thing.
Oh, we didn't see that one.
She just feels so forced, like shoehorned into this. Like, man, let's put something prequel in here. Luke's land speeder, which doesn't even have any weapons. A random pod racer, which doesn't make sense because pod racers have been outlawed. An AT-ST, a battle tank, you know, the tanks the droids had from Episode 1, a desert skiff, which are those sort of floaty things that Jabba used.
Gonna push Han Solo off of into the Sarlacc.
Yeah, and a snow speeder. It's like a real hodgepodge of vehicles.
Pass.
Yeah.
Abort.
Yeah.
The AT-ST is kind of fun. The Rancor is a lot of fun. I love the idea of a Rancor with, you know, machine gun blaster rifles on top of it.
And missile launchers and stuff.
Missile launchers. That's fun. But, oh my gosh. I can't.
What?
This game is just the worst. And it's just fundamentally broken. The clipping issues, and there's no clear indication about whether your killing is being heard or not. It looks and plays like they put no effort into it.
And the heads-up display is like a total nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually had to... this should not be the case. We had to bust out the manual to figure out what all this stuff meant. And I know the manual's there, and manuals were much more important back in the day, but just like good heads-up display design, it's not that hard. And there's, I mean, how many other games manage it just fine without any issues? Games like this and other types of stuff. It's just like, just... be intuitive. It's not that difficult. Just make an attempt.
Well, you know what? You don't even have to be original. There's a template set for you. If you don't know what to do, just do Twisted Metal.
Yeah, just copy. Just do Mario. Just copy Kart. Somebody else.
Just copy somebody else. All right, Dan. What's next?
All right. Wait, should we save this one?
Put it down. But we gotta give a score to Power Battles and Demolition.
You're right.
Give a score to Power Battles.
Still has a little bit of a soft spot because of nostalgia.
Agreed.
I'm gonna go with 4 out of 10.
I'm gonna go with a 4 out of 10. I remember that game being a lot more fun. So perhaps if we had stuck it out, we might have gotten there.
Or if we just busted out the game shark.
Yeah, a game has to be fun out of the box. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
And I understand that that's not always the exception. There have been plenty of games that I've hated and turned out to be great. But that is. It just feels bad. If the game doesn't feel good.
No.
But
there are older Star Wars games that are good and fun to play. Like Rogue Squadron and, you know, Jedi Knight. Shadow of the Empire. The original Star Wars arcade game. Like, they can have older Star Wars games that are good, you know. Dark Forces.
Great game.
What's the one with that they mixed in, like, the live action stuff? Rebel Assault. Oh, I love those.
I loved Rebel Assault. Rebel Assault actually is not a good game, but I loved them.
No, they are, but it's fun.
Yeah.
They're fun. That's the key. In Demolition, I would give this like a 1 out of 10.
If, honestly, I mean, like, is 0 even a number that we're allowed to give?
I guess. If you want to.
It is a game with art on a disc, so it gets a 1. it made it to stores, which is more than some games do, so... 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
go,
one?
Yeah, go with that
okay.
one. Okay. It's like Christmas.
Next,
this one?
And this is really funny too because I actually have the original box for this and manual and everything. It's like
I think that's great.
Complete, which is I think the only video game I have at the moment that still has all the stuff for it. So we have Star Wars Episode 1 Racer as I badly attempt to hold this.
Feel the Force, 600 miles per hour, 4 feet off the ground. That's the tagline on the back. That's great.
Join Jedi-to-be Anakin Skywalker in the Star Wars race of your life. Relive all the thrill and excitement of the pod racer sequence from Star Wars Episode 1. Hang on tight. With afterburners on, pod racers max out at a simulated 600 miles per hour. Race in furious competition against 21-plus opponents. Take on over 21 tracks on 8 unique worlds. Avoid hazards such as methane lakes, meteor showers, and Tusken Raiders. Spectacular 3D environments.
Yeah. It sounds like we're being sort of sarcastic with this. This game is great.
This game is okay.
Mm.
It's not... I wouldn't also... I think the graphics hinder this game. I think there's a lot of potential.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
I think split screen, which is how we have played it this time, this game is almost too good for... split screen. It's too fast. So I think when we don't have the full screen to plan ahead while we're racing, I think it's just too much.
Yeah, but that's how, I mean, it's N64. That's how people played it.
Yeah.
If they were playing it with their friends, it was split screen. There was no other option.
But single player, I think this game looks great.
Yeah. It looks okay. It's still that real rough area of 3D graphics.
As good as any game for the Nintendo 64 can be.
I guess that's just my general issue with the N64 is that its 3D games just don't age well.
Yeah, but I mean I don't even totally think this game didn't age well. I think it looks pretty good.
Decent character selection, a lot of different people.
Great character
selection. Not off the bat, but
no, but no.
There was a profile that we had on here apparently that had like a ton of people unlocked, so that was fun.
Yeah, somehow my character had way more unlocked than Dan's name on there. Yeah. You must have let me borrow it at some point when like in high school.
I don't know.
I really enjoyed this game. It felt so good to me. It feels like a kart racer, but there's no power-ups, which is something I really love.
Yeah.
I've said this in our Mario Kart episode. I'll say this again in a minute. I really don't love power-ups in racing games. I like my skill as a racer to be the defining factor.
But it's like at this point, you can't really get just like a racing game that's not like an ultra detailed,
right,
like Forza Motorsports.
Right.
Like, it's like Forza Motorsports or Mario Kart.
It's like Burnout. That's it.
Yeah. Like that. And that's all I'm thinking
of.
Anymore. Yeah.
This game feels so fast. Like it, everything on the Nintendo 64 feels slow. This game plays and feels like a Wipeout. Like it looks, it's just, I don't know. There's just something about it. Like instantly you feel like you're going crazy fast.
Especially, so we played the Tatooine level probably more than anything else. And, you know, there's that part where you sort of have to dodge around all the rocks, and that part feels real tense every time you go through it. There's a part where you're going through a cave, and then, like, as you get to the end of the cave, you got to sort of thread the needle. And it's not, like, so narrow that you need to go on your side.
It's difficult, but not impossible.
No. Like, if you're, like, paying attention, you'll get it. But if you put yourself on the side, which you can do, it feels real good when you get through there, and you're like, phew.
Yeah.
One of the things that I struggled with to do it regularly is that the focus on this game is on your straightaways, you want to be boosting. And the boosting is like a mechanism by how you're pressing the buttons on the controller. Like, you've got to get it to a certain point and then press another button, and then you'll boost. And if you boost for too long, like, you'll, you know, kill your engines, and then you'll slow down. But so it's like that. It's the constant, like, watching the environment, and then, do I have enough time to get any sort of boost at all? And then when I'm boosting, to get out of that when the obstacles approach.
Right.
So it's like this constant, like, sort of give and take between the level and your playing. And it's like, it's almost like you're racing the level more than you are the other players. Like, they're sort of in, like,
they're
not consequential
most
at all.
Of the time.
Yeah.
But I completely agree. But I like that. I mean, that's something I enjoy in a racer. I didn't struggle with the boosting that much.
Yeah, I was just having a brain fart. I don't know what it was.
I think if we had played it an extended amount of time,
yeah,
you would have gotten that.
I would have. I was starting to. It's just I was struggling with that for a little while.
Man, I really love this game.
The pod racer feels good.
The best thing I can give to you, the pod racing scene is one of the best parts of episode one.
Doesn't do much for me. Never did.
I think it's cool. If you take out all the people, like, that's a fun scene. I hate all the reaction shots from, like, the crowd and Shmi Skywalker and all that. No, I can't watch. Shut up. Nobody likes you. That scene feels so fast, and this game perfectly recreates that. And there's a lot of, like, micromanagement during the level. You know, you have to, like, make sure that you're not overheating, and if you take damage to your pod, like, you have to repair it and all that stuff. It's just, there's a lot of elements to this that just make it feel like that scene from the movie. And that's a real testament to the game. I think it just accurately does what it's trying to do.
Considering how much garbage came out of the prequels between the movies and all the other tie-ins, this is definitely a bright spot.
Yeah, for sure. And I just asked the question if there's anything good. I forgot about this.
Yeah.
I love this game.
And this is the, we should have actually tested this out because we could have. But this is the one where you can use two different controllers to control
different pods,
yeah. Right?
That is such a cool idea. I'm sure it's impossible, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea is that the actual pods, each one of the pods that you're chained to, controls separately, and, you know, you can accelerate on one and decelerate on the other one, and that's how you turn and stuff. That's a real fun idea.
Just even if it doesn't work at all, just the fact that you even considered it.
Yeah.
gives it some credit.
And there's some little things that are really cool. Like one, if one of your pods explodes, like you'll still keep going for a little while until the rest of you explodes. That's
yeah.
fun too.
Yeah. So how would you rate this?
I think this is definitely the best game we played. Oh, you know what? I forgot about the next one. I would give this a solid 8.5 out of 10. I enjoyed playing it this time. I thought it looked good, much better than you did. I thought it feels great. It feels so fast. And I remember loving this game when I was younger. So I mean, I have to give it a really high, I have to give it a good score, at least an 8.5 out of 10. Maybe even higher, honestly. Maybe a 9.
I think I'm going to give this an 8. I don't love the graphics, but that's the era. That's the N64. And, you know, I have a hard time, like, parsing those things out. Like, that's just what it was like back then. It's not really fair to compare it to stuff now. But it's just, like, just it looks so rough compared to other stuff now. It's a little hard. And, you know, it's like they're just – it's in that transitional era where there's just not enough polygons for things to look good. But
it was a late era N64 game. I think this came out in 2000.
It's still pretty rough looking, in my opinion. Yeah. Split screen was a little difficult. You know, I mean, my TV's not the biggest TV in the world, but it's also not the smallest. And realistically, we were probably playing this on a smaller TV at the time.
Yeah, always. I mean, that's what you have to keep in mind. The idea of like playing GoldenEye on like a 19-inch TV like we used to is
like, how could you even see anything?
I'm upset when I have to split a 40-inch TV or a 50-inch TV.
Yeah. I really liked the character choices and selection. Like, there was a ton of pod racers yeah. in the movie, and they did a great job of incorporating that into the game. I struggled when we played. Like, the Tatooine level is fairly easy to see what's going on, and you learn the map relatively quickly, and like have a sense of like, okay, now I'm in the caves. Now I'm like dodging through rocks. Now I'm on a straightaway. But the other levels, like, I didn't have any familiarity with them whatsoever, so I struggled with those a little bit more. I didn't. My performance with this game was not exceptional. That being said, they seem to hit all the major things that they should in a game like this, and the attention to like Star Wars detail was good.
Yeah.
So I give this an 8 out of 10.
That's a good score, an appropriate score. All right, what's next, Dan?
Since we're talking about a racer, do we want to go with this one?
Sure.
Okay. Next up is another late entry to our list here. Star Wars Super Bombad Racing.
There we go.
Okay.
Let me just give a quick shout out to Forgotten Freshness. If you're local, they're in Mechanicville. They donated this game to us today. We had to search around for a copy of it. They happen to have one. They weren't even open today. They opened just for me so I could come get that game.
Well, that's nice of them.
Yeah. So
they sound like a swell business.
They're pretty great. I think they sell stuff online too, so you can look them up. Forgotten Freshness.
So are they just used games, or they sell other stuff as well?
Used games and Magic cards.
Okay.
That's my dream come true.
Yeah. So Star Wars Super Bombad Racing. We'll just go down the back here a little bit to give you a sense of what you're in for. You've never seen Star Wars like this.
True story.
Take the high-speed turns, crazy jumps, and wild gadgets of big-headed kart racing, jumble it with the gravity-defying hyperspaced pace of Star Wars, and you've got a racing game with an entirely new edge. As one of 8 highly stylized Star Wars personalities,
big heads,
you'll zip through a galaxy of locations, zapping your friends and beating your opponents in an all-out free-for-all filled with crazy power-ups, big air jumps, and even a few surprises.
I see that.
Well, just a couple bullet points
here.
There's
so many bullet points. This is like an essay.
I'm not going to read the detail parts.
Homer epic over there.
Race is one of 8 Star Wars characters, 9 fully detailed tracks, 4 arenas offer a free-for-all duck and dash experience, over 25 gadgets, and those are basically like Mario Kart powers, and 5 gameplay modes, race, teams, challenge, arena, and race mirror. And here's the character selection, which is great. Yoda, who by the way is sitting in his chair.
His Yoda chair from the Jedi Council. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Darth Maul, Sebulba, Anakin Skywalker, Queen Amidala, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Boss Nass, who by the way is flying around on a stingray.
Boss Nasty, I love that guy.
And Jar Jar Binks, boo. So,
yeah. This is boy. This is one of the most ridiculous games I've ever played.
We had sort of mixed feelings on this as we were playing it. It kind of started off strong, and the more we played it, I think our opinions started to decline a little bit.
Lucas Learning. So this game is very super obviously made for kids.
Yeah.
Which is weird because, I mean...
It's a like, PlayStation 2 game, by the way. Yeah, I should mention that.
It's like they go out of their way to over-kid-y this. When Mario Kart and Diddy Kong Racing and all those games, they're beloved by adults. So I feel like you can make this game without focusing it too hard for children, and it still would have been successful. It's made by LucasArts Learning. So you would think that there would be some sort of educational purpose to it, but it's really not. It's just Mario Kart with Star Wars characters.
Basically.
But, like, the sound effects are, like, the clown noises.
They're goofy. They're like, real wacky.
The music is not Star Wars themed at all, and very, like, kiddie. Everything about it is just insanely childlike.
And it's, like... It's one of the newer games that we have here. So this is PlayStation 2. We have another PS2 game after this, and then we have an Xbox game as well. So this is a little bit newer than some, so it's a little bit better. In the sense that, like, the graphics were a little crisper. The carts were crisp. They were...
Yes.
The handling of the carts I was real happy with.
Let me say, the gameplay itself at its most core base, good.
Yeah.
Very good in this game.
I don't love the superpowers because they're confusing.
They're insanely confusing and shoddy almost.
Yeah.
One of them literally puts a green box somewhere.
Yeah.
Like not even like floating or with a question mark on it, like in Mario Kart, nothing. It is just a green blob. And when you get stuck in it, you get a green blob on you. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't, and it, I think it's supposed to be like a jelly or something that you get stuck in. But like, It's just a green blob. A green box. It's not a... There's nothing blobby about it. It was weird. The powers are awful in this game. And impossible to decipher.
But I had no problem with the concept of power-ups. So, like, that could have gone better. Like, it would have been cool, you know, to throw my lightsaber at other people. Like, you know, Yoda's got one. Darth Maul has one. You know, they could have easily... You know, given these people the appropriate powers.
Which they might have, because at one point Dan was playing as Darth Maul, and he had what looked like Darth Maul probe droids that he sends out in episode 1.
Yeah. I don't know if that was specific to me.
Yeah, that could have just been a power that everybody can get.
Obi-Wan, he's got a lightsaber. You know.
This was actually the connection I wanted to make to Demolition, is that power-ups are very easy to do. Mario Kart, I mean, they just perfect this. It's just very obvious. It's like this is a shell, and it tells you up in the top corner. It would have been very easy for them to have up top, you know, like blaster or something. I don't know. It was awful.
Yeah, and the heads-up display took us a little while to figure that out. Like one
there
of the, one
shields
of the...
and boost, but you could run out of boost. But I didn't. At one point, I ran out of boost, even though I never used it.
Yeah, the boosting didn't really totally make sense. The levels were a real mixed bag. The Odogunga level.
I didn't struggle with it as much as you did.
No, but it was still a nightmare.
It was pretty nightmarish.
Yeah, those levels were. What was the first? Was the first one a Tatooine level?
Yep.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was like. Oh, it wasn't a pod racing. It was just Tatooine.
Yeah. I don't know. The game didn't look. It didn't.
I thought it actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was blown away, but. It was fine.
The entire time, I felt like you should have a blaster all the time. Like a light laser gun that could take down their shields or something. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this game would benefit from maybe... So, here's an example. Don't have a ton of power-ups, but have a few of them. Missiles or boost-sucking or something like that. But always have, like, a blaster. So you can sort of take their blaster down, then use the power-up, and then that would... have some sort of grander effect.
Yeah, or just shooting them just slows them down a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be great too. Because after we did the races, we went to the arena mode, which played a lot like Twisted Metal. The exact
or like the arena mode in Mario Kart. I mean, it was...
Yeah, but I feel like I got more of a Twisted Metal vibe than the Mario Kart one. They were much more open.
It was more open, I'll give you that.
The... which is what Demolition needed.
Yeah, this was a better Demolition game than Demolition.
This game was too fast for an arena mode. It was impossible to find the other people, and once you finally did, actually track them to shoot them.
You could barely see them in the first place.
Yeah.
And then, like, you zipped past them immediately.
Unlike Demolition, this game is almost the exact opposite spectrum of Demolition. Demolition was way too slow, and, like, the arenas were too tiny. This one was way too fast, and the arenas were huge.
Yeah. I don't mind the cartoony style.
I didn't
like,
either.
They want to do something kind of goofy for kids. They want to do, like, a goofy kart racer. Like, eh, all right.
There was a bouncing mechanic I didn't love. Like, you could jump, but if you jumped from a high enough thing, you would, like, bounce as you came down.
Yeah.
And, like, you just wanted to land and keep going, but instead you would sort of bounce around for a while. So it became a little unwieldy.
And I kept, like, losing all my forward speed every time I would do that. I feel like this game, part of the problem I'm really feeling is, like, the dumb Episode 1 theme to it. This game would be, I think, a lot more endearing if it was original trilogy.
I don't know. I don't care about that. That makes zero difference to me. That game wouldn't be good if you were.
What does it mean? It's an invalid
Chewie
point.
Flying around tiny Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
I was just as content playing as Boss Nasty flying a Stingray. In fact, I kind of like it more for its ridiculousness.
Well, to each their own.
Yes. As a whole, I actually did not hate this game. It is not a good game. I feel like if they had paid a little more attention to what makes a good kart racer good, they could have had a hit on their hands. The game controls beautifully. It feels really good turning and stuff. The turn is exactly the appropriate, like, grade for turning in this game. Like, you never felt out of control as you were trying to make a tight turn or something.
Rating?
6 out of 10.
I was thinking 6 as well.
Yeah. There was a good game at its core here. It was just a lot of extra stuff that was really bad. Oh, one final point. Loading screens in this game? Hysterical.
It was like this really like stylized
yeah.
Star Wars Episode 1 artwork. Like in this sort of, you know, goofy big head world. And like everybody looked stoned.
They all looked super stoned. It was hysterical. I loved that. I loved that.
Yeah.
Next
which
game.
One of these two would you like to do?
Save Lego for last.
Okay. Next up is Star Wars Battlefront 2, which...
That's our custom box art.
Yeah, because it's on my Xbox,
yeah.
And I don't have it as a disc. So, do you want to describe this one, Greg?
Yeah. I don't know. I got a real Battlefield feel out of it, which Dan doesn't totally agree with. It is...
I mean, fundamentally, yeah, but gameplay-wise, no.
Yeah, but I feel like it's made by the same people. I can be incorrect. DICE, I'm pretty sure, is making the new one. And they're the Battlefield people. It doesn't matter.
This was an old game. I don't know if that really applies.
So the game is... There's two opposing factions. Empire and Rebels all the time, right?
No, this one you can have prequels. So I guess Galactics. Or there's the Galactic Civil War and
the Separatists.
Yeah, this
Separatists and the Alliance or Republic or whatever. It doesn't matter. And you both start out with 200 tickets, and you try to control bases. And so, say there's 8 bases. You each start with 4, and then you try to advance your troops onto their area to get more bases. Is there an advantage to getting a base other than having a more frontward?
I think it depletes their tickets faster.
Okay. Like in Battlefield?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
And then there are different classes. So you have your sniper, your medic, your heavy gunner, so on and so forth.
Your regular trooper.
Right.
Pilot.
And then there's also special classes. So you can play as Darth Vader during some times or Princess Leia. Who
Boba Fett.
Owned, by the way. Princess Leia. For some reason, a hero appeared on the other side, and it was Princess Leia, and she just wrecked our forces.
Yeah, the special characters are fun to play as, and if you're good, you'll be playing as them for a long time.
Right. You basically play as them until you die, and then you're done playing as them.
And you gain health by killing people.
Right. What are we teaching the kids these days?
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see the comparison to Battlefield. It's just just the way the game feels. It's a third-person shooter. So it just feels different than Battlefield. But they definitely nail that Star Wars aesthetic with this game. And they added space. Did they add? I don't know if the first one. I don't remember the first one that well.
I played the first one, but hardly at all.
Yeah. There was space battles and space levels in the second one, which were a lot of. I remember them being a lot of fun. We had a real boring time with the level we played.
When we played it, but I remember it being as fun as well.
And those are kind of cool because you sort of have options. Like you can destroy the ship from the outside. You can damage it from the inside. You can land in their, you know, landing bay and, like, attack them. It's sometimes can feel, this game can feel a little repetitive. Like, just the constant, like, back and forth. But you have moments where you do really well. I remember having a good time playing, like, by myself. I mean, I played a lot of this by myself back in the day. And I had a fun time, like, trying to do the Galactic Civil War.
I like this game because it's the only game I know of that really feels like you're in the middle of a battle. You know, like, real-time strategy games have that element where there's, you know, there's hundreds of forces on the field at one time. But very few third-person or first-person games accurately recreate that feeling of you being part of an army going against another army.
Yeah, this did a good job of that.
This is what I've wanted from Halo for years now.
A Halo version of this would be a ton of fun.
And I just want that. Just once, I want to be a person in an army rather than like a lone warrior or controlling the entire army.
And I feel like that too. Like, you know, I know I'm not a non-player character, but I'm not. I mean, I'm doing a little bit obviously better than some of the other NPCs, but like, I feel like I'm like on par with them.
Right. Like, you're just as likely to get picked off of them. Like, a good round is you pegging, like, five people and then you dying. Like, that's a good life. You feel productive doing that. And I feel like that sort of is how real war goes. It's like, all right, well, I got five of them. That's a pretty good day for me.
That's a good return on investment, I guess.
Yes, exactly. I like that feeling.
What a morbid thought.
Yeah, no thank you.
It feels very Star Wars-y. And like especially like the level on the Tantive 4 or Tantive 5, yes. Whichever it is.
Yeah, it's 4.
Yeah. That level feels really good. Like you these stark white hallways and people running around. And you know, it's sort of a maze. It's like real tight corridors. That feels really good. Some of the other levels are like meh, like the Tatooine one's just like meh.
Yeah,
like,
that one's real boring.
That doesn't do much for me. But I like that they have like those third party players who are neither for nor against you, but they're just attacking everyone, which in this one
like
are the
Tusken
Sand
Raiders,
Troopers.
Yeah.
Tusken Raiders. So, any final thoughts on Battlefront?
These games are good. I am very eager for the new one. It's a game that got, like, if you're not totally familiar with it, I forget who the original developers were. But they sort of went bankrupt. But they had Battlefront 3, like 80% done.
Yeah.
And as they were going bankrupt, they unleashed all of the cool stuff they had going on, and it looked great. Apparently, you could like jump in a starfighter on the ground and fly up into a space battle going on.
Oh man,
that is such a rad thing. But EA is still committed to making a new Battlefront. And the very little teaser they showed looked really cool. So I'm eager for the new one to come out.
So what would you rate this?
We didn't play it too much. I feel like this is the kind of game.
Did you play this like previously, like back in the day when it came out?
I did. I played it a lot.
As did I.
We actually played it comparatively. We probably played this much longer than we played Jedi Power Battles or Demolition or anything. But I feel like we barely scratched the surface of it.
It's a it's a long game.
And I think that's a testament to how good this game is. I could play it for hours more. Like, we played it and had a great time.
Yeah.
And I left wanting more. Like, I would go home and play this if I had it for my Xbox.
And we pretty much the whole time we played on the same team with each other. It would be like if we just, like, hung out for an afternoon and we're playing on opposite sides, like, that would be a real, like, tense battle.
Yeah, and we didn't really look into it and do any research. if you could do like 16 on 16 battles or even 32 on 32 battles, this game would be stellar online game.
Yeah.
I would like that constant tug of war and back and forth and different class and everything. That could be a lot of fun. I don't remember if you could over Xbox Live or not. But if you can, I think that that'd be a ton of fun. Rating, I mean, I got to give it like an 8.5 easily out of 10. I always felt like the game felt a little barren at times. But I think that was more a limitation of the systems at the time.
And not being able to have enough characters.
Right. Now there would just be so many characters that I think it would it'd just be incredible. So I always felt like it was a little barren, and I'll take some points off of that. But as a whole, this game is good. Easily 8.5, maybe even a 9 out of 10.
I have really... I don't have any real complaints about this game. I like that you can sort of make up your own custom playlist of... And they give you a lot of options, too, between, like, do you want it to be prequel era or original trilogy era? And you can just sort of make up a playlist of levels and, you know, flight levels, and just sort of play what you want to play. And I just like that you can just do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, they don't force you into playing, like, the campaign mode or, you know, some sort of pre-canned multiplayer. Like, you have options. I really like that. I like options. Let me do what I want to do. I enjoy that, like, all of the NPCs have Star Wars names.
Yeah.
Like, that's fun. I like
each NPC has a name attached to it. And yeah. It'll be like, so-and-so killed you.
Yeah.
And that's real cool.
Yeah. I like the weapons. They feel good. They sound good. Everything feels authentic. It's very Star Wars feeling. And I just, like, I had a great time playing it. I would give this game definitely a 9 to a 9.5 out of 10. I was real happy with it at the time. I had no complaints playing it now. It's a fun game.
Too.
I could keep playing it. So,
yeah. All right, moving on. Last game.
Last game. Star Wars, Lego Star Wars 2, the original trilogy. Oh, that's so difficult to do.
Yeah, it's real hard.
Okay.
Can I
just read a little bit on the back?
Sure.
People didn't already know. Build and battle through the original trilogy. Play through a fun Star Wars galaxy that combines the endless customization of Lego with the epic story from Star Wars episodes 4, 5, and 6. Build and ride vehicles. Mix and match characters. Play with a buddy. Oh, that's nice. Drop in and drop out co-op.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's pretty advanced for a PS2 game.
So
this might have been made around this. This might have also been a next-gen game.
2006?
Yeah, so a lot of elements. Well,
PS2.
Right on that cusp. We played it on the PS2.
Yeah. So, real briefly, this game more or less follows the story of Star Wars.
Yep.
In a much more play-heavy kind of way. Like,
yeah.
they build it out by giving you extra stuff, like levels to do. But it generally follows the storyline of the movies. It's very kid-friendly. It's very easy. It's very straightforward. But, like, it's fun. It's goofy.
It's a ton of fun.
It is.
Super-duper arcadey. Virtually no... there's no penalty for dying.
Not that we could find, anyway.
Yeah, you just respawn exactly where you got left off. I like the sort of retelling of Star Wars. It's real funny. Nobody talks, so it's sort of like this pantomime. And I really appreciate that.
And it's like every scene is like recognizable, but then they'll like build it out with additional stuff. Like, oh, that's the Sandcrawler. I know which scene this is.
Right.
But then it's like, oh, well, we're hopping on platforms on the Sandcrawler and like doing other stuff, and we're going through canyons. And it's like, I sort of get this, but they've added more to make it an actual game.
The game controls well, feels good. Shooting's a little wonky.
Yeah.
And the biggest issue Dan and I ran into is that since you share exactly the same screen, and this is a problem you run into a lot, one person will sort of hold the camera up while the other person's trying to run in a different direction, and that can get pretty frustrating.
The camera, like, and this might be a restriction of like levels where you're inside, so it can't back out, because then it's going to just like clip outside of the level. But I feel like the camera just needed to like zoom out more.
Yeah,
when that was happening, just zoom out to like a ridiculous amount where the people can't see each other anymore, and then they have to come back together
and
play
to that.
Play the level. You know,
yeah.
Like we needed a little bit more. I felt like there could have been a little bit more to the controls. They were almost a little too basic. I wanted a little bit more. Like, I wanted, like, a run button.
Yeah.
I just wanted a little bit, like, something else to do.
I kind of agree with that. And, you know, they've made, like, 15 of these games since then. So they certainly might have expanded on the formula.
Yeah.
But I agree with what you're saying. It would have been nice to have, like, more to do with your force powers and stuff than pick up Legos. But I will also say that, you know, we played this for an hour or so. It looked like there was a lot of features that we haven't unlocked.
Yeah.
There was probably 50 characters that at some point were going to be playable.
Yeah. It looks like the replayability, they want it to be high in that you're unlocking characters and then using those characters in other levels to get access to things. Like, yeah. there was things that were coming across where you could only access it as a Jedi, but we weren't playing as Jedi yet, so we couldn't.
Or as a Stormtrooper, but yeah. we hadn't unlocked Stormtroopers yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the replayability of this game is probably very high.
So if you play that first level as a Stormtrooper, are you playing from the Stormtrooper side?
I don't know.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting
to play everything from, like, the opposite side.
That would be really cool, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. These games are very popular. They put a lot of work into them, so it's certainly possible they would think of that. If this was made by, like, the Terras Kasai people, we would just assume not.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's made by real people.
There's a lot of, like, stuff to pick up. A lot of, like, there's a lot of destructible elements to the environment that, like, give you things that are just, you pick them up. Kind of feels a little bit like Sonic the Hedgehog, where it's like, oh, a billion rings, let me pick them up.
Yeah.
Nah.
Nah. I feel like maybe if we played it more, that would all pertain to something. Like, we'd be able to unlock people with those blocks or unlock ships or powers or whatever.
There's got
to
be something.
There's got to be something. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they are just arbitrary things to collect that has been what games have been based on for years, you know?
Yeah. I like the characters. Like, each one had something sort of specific about them that felt kind of unique. Like, Obi-Wan had his lightsaber. R2-D2 had... Well, I mean, which is stupid, but he had those little, like, jump jet things so he could float around. Like, it was just kind of... considering how basic these characters are, I mean, they're Lego men.
Yeah.
You know, I give him credit for differentiating.
It was unique to play. I enjoyed our little bit of time. I don't think I'm going to go back to it. But if I had a kid, I feel like they would love this game, and I wouldn't mind jumping in and playing it with them every now and then and stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a testament to what it is. You know, how many games are there out there that both kids and adults want to play that is appropriate for kids and adults?
Yeah. And this, I mean, if you can get past the fact that this is a movie about a, you know, a galactic civil war, if you can sort of put that aside.
There was a weird amount of murder in this game.
There is, but it's like they do it in such a kid-friendly way.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even really realize it.
Like, you can just blow up complete... you know, bystanders, and Vader explodes a dude with his force powers, but they're Legos, so they just explode, like...
Yeah.
I don't know, it's weirdly violent, though, in its own little kid way.
But it's not gory,
I
think
that's... It's not gruesome, yeah.
No. So,
I was dropping stormtroopers into a bottomless pit with a crane.
Yeah. So, it's a pretty decent game.
Yeah.
How would you rate this?
8 out of 10. A lot of fun. Needed some extra things to make it fun. I don't know if I want to play it alone, but if I had a kid, this would be a 10 out of 10.
So I've played... I don't remember which one of these I have played previously. It might have been the first one, which was... Was that a prequel one?
I don't recall. I'm sorry.
I don't remember. But I was playing it by myself, and I found it pretty dull to play alone. Because, like, you know, it's like I shot a couple of guys and was like, this is all there is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you start playing as a Jedi, maybe it gets a little bit more complex, but it didn't do much for me on my own. Playing with somebody who's also a Star Wars fan, I appreciated the experience more and enjoyed it. And just had a good kind of, you know, a good laugh at what was happening and what was going on. The Lego style doesn't do a ton for me. It gets a little old for me, honestly, after a while.
Yeah, I certainly get that.
But, you know, that being said, this is a for what this is a pretty solid game. So I would give this an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. If I had a kid, I would love to play this game with him.
Yeah.
But, like, for Dan and I, we're now in our 30s. It's a little silly for the two of us to play it together.
A little bit. This would be a good way to, like, introduce a kid to Star Wars and, like, the Star Wars universe, to, like, let them just play around in it.
Yeah. All right, so that's all of our games. Let's, aside from what we played here, what would you say is your favorite Star Wars game of all time?
Rogue Squadron for the N64. That's always my go-to. But coming in like second tier would probably be either Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast or Jedi Knight 3 Jedi Academy. I really loved those games.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably those.
I think mine.
That arcade game is incredible.
That arcade game is.
If you ever have a chance.
It's just so short.
No, I know. But if you ever have a chance to play the original Star Wars arcade game, you have to play it. And if you're ever at the fun spot, they have one. So play it there.
I think mine is probably Jedi Knight. Like Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I
remember you playing a lot of that.
Loved that game. And it was the first game I ever played like online against other people. And that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the first-person shooter. I really just love that game. I also played a lot of Rogue Squadron, obviously. I played a ton of that game. That game was great. I haven't gone back to it in a long time, so I don't know if I can make an accurate assessment of it. But I remember it being pretty wonderful.
Rogue Squadron nails that Star Wars aesthetic, like, perfectly. Everything about that game, like, it just feels so perfect.
Yeah.
Nothing about it ever feels wrong. And it's like they sprinkle it with just enough expanded universe to like, ooh, what's this? This is something new that like I haven't seen before, but it's grounded in so much original trilogy that it's just the perfect ratio.
Yeah, I would say, and I remember liking Shadow of the Empire a lot, but I feel like if I went back to that, it wouldn't do too much for me.
It's a hard game.
Yeah.
It's a first-person shooter. It's really difficult. Just because it's still from an era where games were still pretty unforgiving. And that first level, that Hoth level is cool.
Yeah.
But then after that, it's just first-person shooter.
Remember a time when every game had a Hoth level at the beginning? there was like 8 games that start with a Hoth level. It's really weird. All right, I think we're pretty much ready to wrap up. Are you playing anything lately? Is there any like recommendations you have?
Well, I have a bunch of games that I've been wanting to play and some programs that I haven't been able to really use. My computer is just the oldest thing on earth.
Yeah.
And I just bought a new one, and it's on its way here. So I'll probably dive into a whole bunch of new stuff between now and our next couple of episodes. So I might have some things to talk about in the intros, but nothing really at the moment. I might pick up Skyrim for $5 today on the
$5 Steam sale. That's going to be way over by the time anybody hears this.
Yeah, but you guys might have already known about it. I might finally get into Skyrim.
Fingers crossed. I just can't wait. You might hate it. I don't know.
I might.
But it's $5. You can't it'll probably even buy be like, a burger for $5 anymore.
It'll probably be like every other big open world game that I've played where I have really fun exploring for a little while and then I don't want to do any missions and I just, I'm done.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What have I been playing? Dragon Age Inquisition. Game's crazy good.
I don't know anything about it.
It's the newest Dragon Age, obviously.
I don't know anything about Dragon Age.
What?
I don't know anything about Dragon Age.
It's Mass Effect in medieval times.
Okay.
It's made by BioWare, who made Mass Effect, Knights of the Old Republic, all those. It's a really great combination of Skyrim and Mass Effect. It has like the playability of Mass Effect, like all the conversation pieces, the objectives, all that stuff feels great like Mass Effect. But it's super big. The world is huge, and it feels a lot like Skyrim. I'm getting a lot of elements like, wonder what's over there. Oh, it's a cave. Wonder what's in the cave. Let's check it out.
Would you say it's better than Mass Effect?
Oh, no. No, nothing's better than Mass Effect.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if like having time to like work on this like and perfect the sort of formula of that style of game, if it's gotten better. Oh.
Well, the story of Mass Effect is more interesting. I like the...
like the mechanics, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
I like the mechanics of Mass Effect more. Okay. Like I enjoy the third-person shooter elements more than this one, which is... I'm still playing as a mage, so there's definitely some shooter elements to it. But this is definitely more tactical RPG than Mass Effect is.
Okay.
However, the world in this, like the world building in this, I would say is comparable or better to Mass Effect. You feel like you're really interacting with 3D spaces rather than participating in a bunch of corridors. Like, battles happen in the middle of a field rather than I'm running through this space station and there's a bunch of dudes at the end of this hallway. So it just feels like a more real world that you're participating in. What else is there? I started playing Shadow of Mordor. That's pretty great. It's like a good Assassin's Creed set in Lord of the Rings. It's like it combines two things I hate and somehow comes out with something I love.
Who do you play as?
I don't know. Some ranger.
Oh, okay.
Nobody you know. Like, not like Legolas or friend of Legolas. I don't know anything about Lord of the Rings. So those are the two games I've been like digging into lately. Can I please beg anybody to play Kentucky Route Zero and talk to me about it?
I'll play it when I get the new computer. Okay. Yeah, it's the only thing that was stopping me. I tried to run it and it didn't run properly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I had some issue with it.
It's a super basic program. I didn't realize that was an issue.
It could have also been the version that I acquired.
Maybe.
I'll give it another shot.
Yeah, somebody play Kentucky Route Zero and talk to me. Next three podcasts, it looks like Mass Effect. Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2, and Mass Effect 3.
We'll be teaming up with Alex Krasny of Agree or Die.
Yep.
AgreeOrDie.com. He also runs a podcast with his friend Yuri.
So he's going to be doing that with us for the next month and a half or so.
Yeah, he'll be our special guest.
Yeah, and he joined us on the Beat 'em Up Beat 'em Up episode 2.
Yep.
As well. Episode 10, part 2 of the Beat 'em Up episode. I guess that's a better way to say that.
And Alex is a huge Mass Effect fan.
Crazy.
as are we. Although he might be a bigger fan than us, I think.
He's way bigger fan than us. He pointed me to a chart that he made on his website of like what you can find on different planets in Mass Effect and stuff.
Hmm.
It is insanely in-depth. I mean, way more than I've ever gone. I think way more than you've ever gone. It's nuts. He knows his stuff. He knows his Mass Effect.
Hmm.
And he's also logged like 800 hours on Mass Effect 3 multiplayer.
Yeah.
So we do sort of apologize in advance because Mass Effect 1 and 2 obviously have zero multiplayer elements to them.
Yeah. We're straying from our original mission.
Slightly.
But Mass Effect is such a wonderful series, and
yeah, we want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And honestly, we might whatever, we can talk about that later. Yeah, I guess we're done.
I guess
Star
we are.
Wars.
Yeah, right. That's a bunch. We may have down the road. We might, as we consider more and more straying from our original co-op / multiplayer mission, we may do another Star Wars game episode because there's a lot of other Star Wars games out there. There's a lot of good ones. There's a lot of bad ones. These were all multiplayer or co-op or whatever. But it would be interesting to take a look at some that aren't and, you know, kind of go through the history. And these were all relatively from the same time period, which wasn't really on purpose, but that just kind of worked out that way.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see, like, you know, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter or whatever those are.
I heard they made, like, a new X-Wing or something.
I don't
know. We should look into it.
Yeah.
It's not important.
Or, like, Rebel Assault, you know, taking a look at those again. It would be real interesting to just see that kind of, like, the earlier stuff.
It would be a lot of fun.
So... That might be, you know, down the road a ways, but, you know, get settled in for Mass Effect because it's going to be a while.
Hope you like it.
Yep.
All right. So next week, Mass Effect, thank you for tuning in. I suppose I can tell you who I am again.
Yeah.
I am Killer Greg. You can find me at KillerGreg17.
I'm Dan. You can find me at the Polygon 1.
You can find both of us at Player 2, PlayerTwo.
And you can find us at player2pressstart.com.
Yep. And once again, you can find us at the website. And please leave feedback. I actually did not check to see if anybody left our iTunes feedback.
I didn't check either.
We'll extend the contest one more week. Two more weeks.
Also, I want to mention that, as I mention every time, you can get the RSS feed from our website. You can stream us from the website. You can download the audio file from our website. You can... subscribe to us in iTunes, and now you can listen and watch via YouTube.
Yeah, and if you're a new listener, let us know where you found us, because we would either like to thank whoever recommended you, or just know where we should be putting our attention. See you next week.
Thanks.
You're beautiful, and that's for sure. You'll never ever fade. You're lovely, but it's not for sure that I won't ever change. Though my love is great, yeah, yeah, yeah. Though my love is changed. Yeah, oh, oh. I soul is. I don't know where my home is. No, I'm like a bird all on the flower. I don't know where my soul is. I don't know where my home is. Baby, all I need for you to know is. Your faith in me brings me to tears. Oh, even after all these years, and it pains me so much to tell that you don't know me that well. I know you don't, all my love is great. Love me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Each and every single day.